project brought by AMFM Clear Channel out of Boulder. A friend of mine actually is involved with it. You get a bunch of DJs in an area and don't pay them very much. Los Angeles DJs make a lot of money. So you do it in Boulder, Colorado, and you get these DJs, and they come into a room every day, and they read lines off into a microphone. They say, that was Pearl Jam, coming up next, it's Limp Bizkit, right?
Yeah, right.
That sound file goes out digitally to a radio station in Los Angeles, to a radio station in Phoenix, to a radio station in Seattle, and is instantly dropped between songs that are played off of a hard drive, radio stations that don't even have any people in them.
Isn't that amazing? And yet they make the same amount of money, but they don't have to pay anybody because there's no people. How does that serve the community? How do you tell people about, you know, an emergency weather condition or something like that? Things that the low-power 10-watt stations are doing, and being told that they're not allowed to do that. These mega stations completely ignore it. Listen, look, turn it on yourself. See when you hear a local newscast that actually tells you something about the neighborhood you live in.
But you know what really matters, Emmanuel? The K-Rock Dysfunctional Picnic. That's what it
comes
down to.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
You know, does anybody here know what the K-Rock Dysfunctional Picnic is?
Don't look at me.
Come on. The Z100 Jingle Ball, all these silly commercial garbage.
I don't know, but it's making me sick, the very thought of it.
And all these radio stations are programmed by, like, three guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. The same three guys program all the stations.
Right.
You know, that's another thing. We're talking about news and public affairs. Okay, let's talk about music a little bit. All right. How do you think things become hits? You know, it's all this big web of deceit that encompasses the record companies, the motion picture industry, and you know, the radio stations. They decide who is going to be a success, who is not going to be a success. And, you know, you have no control over this. And the real danger of people running their own radio stations and community stations is that power goes away. You see the same kind of reaction as you saw against us over the summer by the MPAA when people, consumers, actually had control over technology. Well, you don't want that. You want to be able to dictate the terms. You want to tell people what to buy, how to use it, what's good, what's bad. You don't want people to have that ability because then all of a sudden you lose control. And who wants to lose control?
The phone number is 212-209-2950.
And we have a new deal. That's right, a new deal. The second hour deal here.
To get us out of the Great Depression.
I was going to make that joke, but I stood away from it.
Well, I was kind of
depressed. You, however, went off the cliff. Okay.
I was a little depressed, but I'm not depressed now because we have a new deal. And this actually might be of note to some people who have already pledged, and again, this should be directed to the people in the tally room because some people might be calling up to upgrade their pledge, and if they do, well, okay, we can just upgrade their pledge to this amount because for $200, I know it sounds like a lot of money, but for what you get here, oh, it's nothing. $200, you'll get every single videotape coming out of the H2K conference that we are, at the moment, still compiling. This won't be ready for until November.
You could bootleg those and make your money back.
That's true. You could. Thanks for giving people the idea there.
Well, we'll
now get one pledge.
Hey, Mike from Columbia is here. How you doing?
Hi.
You have a suggestion?
Well, I'm just glad that you're releasing it on VHS, not DVD, because people will have their fair use rights.
That's right, absolutely. And one thing I'd like for people to do is get these on public access, on cable. You know, take them to public. I'm not sure how it works. I've never actually tried it. I'm looking into it right now. But you can submit tapes and have them aired, and then your whole community can see it. For $200, you'll get every single panel. And let me tell you some of the things that are included there. There's the legal panel with us and Marty Garbus. There's John Johansson. There's Hackers and the Media. There's the whole mock trial with the MPAA versus 2600.
That was riveting.
That was great. That was really something. High School Horror Tales, the MTV panel, just about everything that we have. I haven't gone through all of it yet. We're still in the process of doing that, and it's going to cost us a fortune to make these things up, but we're doing it because we want to make it available to people, and it should be available in mid-November. But for $200, you'll get everything. We're talking probably about 24 hours of video right there. It's a lot.
The whole conference. Wow.
Yeah.
That's like a Time Life series.
I mean, it's going to be a big box that shows up at your door. That's going to be a really big box.
You can have like a commercial on TV. So like, Daddy, what was H2K?
212-209-2950 is the phone number. I don't see any takers. You know what? Nobody sees the value of this.
Oh, there will be takers.
All right. Well,
how much do you spend on beer and pizza every year? Huh? More than $200?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. This is something that can entertain the whole family, and also
while you're eating pizza and drinking beer.
If you missed H2K, it's a great consolation prize, although it's a bit more expensive, I'll give you that, but it's also something you can keep forever. And if you were at H2K, it's great memorabilia, and you know, something you can take with you.
And most importantly, you're helping this station at 99.5. My apologies for the earlier error. It's an unprecedented resource we have here.
Mm-hmm.
And a $200 pledge, you get the videos, but you're helping us out.
You know what? You also get the hat.
And you get the hat?
Yeah, you get the hat as well.
You get the hat, too.
In fact, you get everything that we were mentioning before. You get the hat. You get
the whole nine yards.
Since the Jello Biafra video is part of this, you get him. You get the stickers, and you get the CD when that comes out.
$200.
For $200. Now, okay, so if people don't see the value of this, let's delve back into H2K for a moment. And visit the were you at the social engineering panel? Oh, this was fun.
This was fun. A lot of fun.
This was something. Now, all right, to set this up a little bit, social engineering is something we do every HOPE. This is the third one we've done. And we always try to get something out of the various corporations. We try to get some information they're not supposed to give us. In this particular case, it was a little bit different because they were on to us, and they had published a memo. AT&T had sent out a memo to all its employees telling them to beware of giving out sensitive information because there was a hacker conference this this weekend. So basically what we decided to do was call them and see if they would give us any information. And, well, let's just hear how that transpired.
Did everybody else write that number down?
No. Every quiet.
AT&T Corporate Security, this is Jim. How may I help you?
No, hi. Goldstein, I'm over in sales on the Americas. I had gotten a memo about something that might be going on this weekend. I was wondering if you could give me more information concerning something having to do with information being obtained by people that weren't supposed to obtain it or something like that. It's very sketchy. I heard it third hand, but there's something that we should be able to be more careful this weekend. Do you have any information on that?
Yeah, you should definitely be careful about, you know, giving any information. I mean, it's always a good idea to be especially careful of you know, giving out information if somebody's calling in. And this weekend was going on as some sort of a conference, for hackers, and they're, you know, calling in and doing a live demonstration. So they'll call into different businesses and whatnot.
I don't understand. What's the purpose behind that?
Well, to obtain information so that they can use that to defraud, probably ultimately to defraud you or your business.
You're saying that this whole conference of people doing this?
That's what I understand, right?
And that's legal?
I don't know the legalities around it. I guess, you know, for them to meet is not illegal, but, you know, certainly if they do something that's, you know, I don't know all the what's surrounding it, but in a nutshell, be on the lookout, you know, this weekend and any time. Today, I know, was the day that, by the way, the memo that you had received was, you received an email or
actually a co-employee who since lost the memo told me about it, and that's why I'm calling for clarification. Is there any way to get another copy of that?
No, you were an AT&T.
Yeah, rent in the Americas.
Okay. Do you have a what was your
name? Sorry, my name is Mr. Goldstein, Armand. If I give you a fax number, would you be able to just send that over?
Well, I don't.
I just find it amazing that you say there's a group of people that are planning to do something and nothing can be done to stop them.
I mean, it's like, you know, freedom of, they're covered under the First Amendment. This is not something that's actually hidden from the public. It's more or less, you know, they can't have obviously in the meeting advocate doing anything illegal, but the things that they may talk about, in the meeting are for that purpose of probably hackers, it is
type
of thing. But in general, like I said, anytime somebody calls in and asks for something like, information that you wouldn't normally give out, it's just a good idea to get, or if they're claiming to be with a phone company or anything like that, or obtain information that you don't feel comfortable giving out, the memo just states, don't do what they're asking without asking for their callback number, their name, and then call it back and verify that they're who they say they are and all of that. That's the only thing the memo stated. I know it was AT&T today.
Okay, and it went out to every AT&T office, I assume, more than just locally, right?
Yeah, I know it was available at AT&T today and on Friday, I believe. I can see here. Can you hold for a moment?
Yeah, sure. Thank you.
It's always a bad sign when they put you on hold.
Thanks for holding. Your last name was Goldstein.
Yeah. This speakerphone is really... It's not as a Radio Shack speakerphone.
Okay. What was your first name?
Armand. Armand. Anyway,
I was just looking internally to see the email list there. I didn't see your name here.
No. No, it's not likely you would.
Okay. Why is that being?
Well, basically, we were just making our first phone call.
At what point did you hang up?
He hung up.
He hung up.
I guess he didn't feel the need to communicate any
when he
further.
Heard several thousand people screaming.
That must have tipped him off.
That's the thing. You really need the video for this because the funniest part is watching the audience like grab at their chests and try to hold back the laughs.
Yeah, it's hard.
As you're doing this.
I have to give them a lot of respect for holding back on that, especially that call because. Imagine the irony there. He's telling us about social engineering, and social engineering him into telling us about it. And pretty unbelievable. So, that's just a small part of the whole H2K package there. That's the social engineering panel, including an interview with Kevin Mitnick.
There was a lot of comedy at this this show. It was a lot of funny stuff.
Yeah.
Always is.
And you can get all the tapes for only $200.
$200, you get something like... I haven't even finished counting all the tapes yet. I think we're up to... I think we're up to about 20 hours so far, and we haven't even finished going through it all.
It's a lot of video.
Only way that you sell them is through if people give a donation to BAI, and that way, like when the federal government is buying sets of them, look at, then government has to support BAI.
There you go. All right, so if you're a Fed out there, $200 will get you a lot of surveillance equipment.
It's a deal. It saves the taxpayers money. Right. It makes your boss happy. It's not a problem.
That's right. You'll get the keynote speech by Jello Biafra. You'll get the King's Mob open source media making panel, which I just saw that yesterday, and that was fascinating. Hackers in the Media, the social engineering panel, the mock trial, hacktivism, MTV, high school horror tales, selling out, introduction to computer viruses, pirate radio 101, John Johansson story. The list just keeps going on. Just go to the h2k.net page and look at all the panels that we had. And you'll see, we just did so much. And it's really cool. It's amazing. You kind of put it behind you, and you don't think about all the things that happened. But then you sit down and you watch it all, and you realize, wow, this really was significant. This really changed some things. This changed people. This made a lot of people learn things. And that's what it's all about, and that's what makes us want to keep doing things like this. 212-209-2900, $200 for every single video. Massive amount of videotapes there. And well worth it. Believe me, it's well worth it. For $75, though, you'll get just the Jello Biafra speech. And everybody who pledges $75 or above will also get a baseball cap. And everybody who pledges 25 or above will get the new Jello Biafra CD, which includes excerpts from the H2K speech, and everybody who pledges will get some H2K stickers. I think that pretty much makes it about as simple as possible. Laszlo, what was your favorite part of H2K? You were running around like a madman there, too.
Watching Bernie.
What was Bernie doing?
Bernie was on a lot of panels, and, you know, like the old, the antique, I think it was like a shortwave panel that he did. And then, of course, I helped organize the Napster panel, and we had a lot of good people on that panel.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one yet. We have that one, too. That's got Jello Biafra, and it's got a few other people as well on it.
There was a lot of smart folks on that.
I missed almost everything because, when you're running around coordinating. Yeah, it sucks, but that's a good thing about videotapes. If you miss it, you can... And I'm having so much fun now going through these things, watching them, because I see all the things I miss. Now, if I'm having this much fun, imagine how much fun you can have watching this, because you don't have to worry about, putting it all together and making sure it gets sent out to everybody. All you have to do is get it, and all that involves right now is a $200 pledge.
And I mean, there are so many things from this footage that you'll notice. Like, there was a cop that came to H2K. Did you know about this?
No.
There was a uniformed New York City police cop that came to, like, the press area and asked to get in for free because he was a cop, and they're like, you got to pay $40. but just the shots of the rooms of people and to see all the different kinds of people and hair styles and different sizes and colors of people.
Yeah.
It was especially... the room where they had all the old computers that they were networking, and that kid, that genius kid that calls into the show all the time.
Well, now you're going to make him swell his ego up to, like, the size of this room now, genius kid.
Nah, he was not like that.
Nice.
He was cool.
Yeah. He's a good guy.
He's all right.
He told me, I interviewed him for my radio feature.
212-209-2950. Three calls on the line.
He said they won't let him touch the computers in the library anymore at school because he went down to a DOS prompt.
So many people there had similar stories. In fact, we had a couple of panels where people were telling stories like that about how they get ostracized because they're too smart, because they figure things out. And, it makes you wonder where we're heading in our society when we treat people who are smart as if they're criminals.
We're heading towards George W. Bush.
You think
so? Running for president. Look. Man is an idiot.
The dumber, the better.
I thought you were looking at a poll or something.
No.
You be glad George Bush can't talk. You be glad, because if he could put a sentence together,
I take great joy in that fact.
Well,
because
he seemed to have creamed Al Gore in the debates. The master debater that is Al Gore seemed to have a lot of trouble with the idiot George Bush.
And this is the only radio station in New York that's talking about any of the third-party candidates.
That's right.
It's a telling day when Ralph Nader and Pat Buchanan are joining together to fight for a common cause.
Isn't that something?
That says a lot.
That's amazing. 212-209-2950.
Beat me to the phone number.
Sorry. We only have three calls on the line. Let's get some more. We're up to 1290 total, and we want to get it up significantly higher.
$10. Just call and give $10. 212-209-2950.
Yeah, you'll get some stickers at least for that.
Yeah. Then you can put them on a police car or something.
It makes a difference.
Sure.
And you'll get to keep hearing this program and many others.
Yes, and then we'll stop saying the phone number over and over again. 212-209-2950.
That's right. We've done a lot over the years on this radio station, on this radio show, and this is only one show of many on the station, which is why it's important for everybody who listens to just one program to donate to that program. So if you're out there and you only listen to Off the Hook, and you think that it's a waste to donate to a station when you only listen to one show, no, it doesn't work that way, because we all make up the place. We all build together and keep the place going, and we all have to do our part to make sure this place is here tomorrow. And it's a very important issue. And everybody who feels a part of a program should take part in that. It's like voting. It really is, because you're basically investing yourself into something you believe in. And if you believe you can make change, well, this is the place where you can make that kind of change.
I like that parallel to voting. Because, whenever you vote and you start walking out of the polling place, you have that feeling. You get
that feeling that you forgot to push the button?
No.
I hate that feeling.
The feeling that, wow, I pulled that lever and I made a difference. It makes you feel part of something a lot larger than yourself, and that's the kind of the unity behind this station that you can find when you actually pledge and become a member.
You got to pull the right lever, though.
Because yeah.
If you pull the lever everybody else pulls, you're not making any difference.
Well, you pull the lever that you should be pulling.
Pull the lever you believe in.
And if you don't give at least $5 or $10 to the station, you are jumping the turnstiles, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I guess that's one another way of looking at it.
You are cheating the system.
212-209-2950. Let's load up these phone lines because we have some really great packages here to give away for people who call in. But again, I got to point out, it's not about getting free things in the mail. It's not about, you know, calling to get a hat or whatever. It's calling to keep the station going. We don't have commercials. If we had commercials, well, we wouldn't be on the air. I can guarantee you that because there would be no sponsor that would let us say the things that we say.
Nobody's going to sponsor a hacker show.
Remember what made you say last pledge drive, Isaac?
What did you make me say last pledge drive?
We made you say that Microsoft sucks.
Well,
to say that again?
I did that for the station.
All right, listen.
Why, does he like Microsoft?
If we get one more call.
I don't like Microsoft, but I don't see what everyone has a problem with them for.
All right. Let's see if we can light up the phone lines with people who are pledged if you say Microsoft
sucks
in the air.
All right, I'll do that.
Say Microsoft sucks now. Let's see if we get a phone call, and we'll keep it up. Well, you know, you'll say Microsoft sucks more if more people call in. So as a good-natured attempt right now to say, yeah, go ahead.
For WBAI.
And say it like you mean it.
Microsoft sucks.
All right, so far, no calls.
If more people give money, he'll say it with feeling.
Right, there's a call. Yes. There's a call. Now,
I got a call for that one?
No. Okay. I should point out, I see the light flashing. I see another light flashing. These lights have to stay on, meaning that these people are actually giving pledges,
not
just calling in saying, hey, I mean, Isaac, say Microsoft sucks. All right, we have six calls on the line. So apparently a lot of people are saluting you for your courage in taking that stand.
You know, there are people on
the
other continents.
The right.
There are people on other continents that have tuned in. Mm-hmm. I mean, begathons aren't the most exciting thing on the planet. I'll give you that, you know.
That's true.
There are people from other continents tuning into this begathon. That's that's saying something.
It is. It definitely is. Absolutely. 212-209-2950 is our phone number.
We've got pounds, marks, euros. Do we have any euros?
We talked about this last time.
I'm not really sure how that's working. I don't think they have the currency out yet, but they're trading. The banks are doing things in euros.
Oh, they're playing with the euro, but no one has it.
I don't think so. Because if you go over there now, you'll still get the old currency.
Okay.
That's pretty much what I think happens. 212-209-2950. Join the four calls on the line, and you'll get to hear Isaac say,
Microsoft sucks.
More. You'll get to hear him say it even more. So we got a good response from the last one. Here's some more calls coming in. This is how
for the listeners and for the station, I will.
I don't care what K-Rock and Z100 say. We know what people want to hear. People want to hear you say Microsoft sucks, all right?
Let me give you a quick story. I'm on several hundred radio stations nationwide for 60 seconds a day. 60 seconds with a technology update,
right?
I got a call from a station the other day. It says, Laszlo, we're not running you anymore. And I said, why? And they said, we got bought. We got bought by one of the big companies. And their policy is, if we don't own it, don't run it. Because if you're running something else, then that revenue is going outside of the company.
Now, you see, here at this radio station, we are not owned. We are all individuals. The radio station does not own us. We talk about things that are important, things that matter, things that are of interest to our listeners. And I think I'd be remiss if I didn't touch upon some things, obviously, that were of interest to our listeners. There's been a lot of activity, a lot of talk about Pacifica, you know, and conflicts with the station and things like that. I've heard people say that the way to respond to this, the way to respond to Pacifica having differences with some programmers and some radio stations, is to not support the station. It's to just simply walk away and say, I'm boycotting the station. I'm not going to support the station. Now, I'm all in favor of you know, talking about this as much as it needs to be talked about, and it should be. And I don't think anybody here at this radio station is going to shy away from that and pretend things aren't happening, because we'd be real hypocrites if we did that. In fact, you know, tomorrow there's a demonstration outside the radio station at I think 5:30 to support one of the shows on this radio station that is in danger, that is potentially in danger. Democracy Now. It's a whole big controversy. You can read about it on savepacifica.org.
Why is it in trouble?
There's a whole big thing. If we have time, we can get into it. But my point is, we have people showing up who care about a radio program, one program on a station. All right, these people care. These are our listeners. They really give a crap about the station. All right. So how can you say if you care about the radio station that you won't support it because someone else is trying to do something bad to it? You know, that's wrong. You have to support the station so that the station is there so you can defend it. If you don't support the radio station, somebody else will. We have a 50,000-watt radio station in the middle of the FM dial in New York City. If every single listener decided, hey, you know, I don't like what Pacifica's doing, I'm going to drop out. Well, gee whiz, what do you think is going to happen? You think, you know, the station's just going to say, okay, yeah, you win. No, the station will go to somebody who can support it, and the listeners will be seen as being irrelevant. Totally irrelevant. And that's if you have a significant effect. And if you don't have a significant effect, then you've lost again because the station will survive regardless of what you say. Now, it's a lot like voting because if you support the radio station, if you pledge money, you are voting and you've earned a right to say something about the station because you're a part of it. You're one of our sponsors. And we want to hear from the people who sponsor this radio station. 212-209-2950. Pledge to the radio station, keep the radio station going, keep it strong, and whatever is happening down the road, we will deal with it together. But it's very important nobody jumps off the ship. It's frightfully important. I'll be at the demonstration tomorrow. I'm sure a lot of people will be there to voice support for the great programs that are on this radio station, and I think it can be a very positive thing. And I think a lot of people at this radio station, including management people, care. You know, I don't want to see this whole big union management thing develop, you know, unless it has to, unless people actually are doing really bad things. But I think there's a lot of people on both sides who really get it, and you can't just, you know, you can't just ignore that. You can't be all divisive. It's extremely important that people support the radio station, keep it here, no matter what you may hear. Thank you very much.
Let me rattle off a phone number for you real quick. If you want to throw a $5 bill at Pacifica Radio, it's 212-209-2950.
And we have some more people to thank. We want to thank Dino from Brooklyn and Steve from New York, George from College Park, Maryland, and Sublevel Inceptions.
Whoa.
Of Brooklyn. I'm not sure what that sub-level is. It sounds really cool.
Are you taking corporate money, Emmanuel?
Well, you know,
I don't think that's a corporation.
I don't know. Well, you know, if I see Microsoft on here, I'll simply... I won't read their name, but I don't think they're going to call up. And Tierra from Oak Ridge, New Jersey, thanks so much for the pledges. They're really helpful. And again, to all those people out there, the radio station is one of a kind in New York. You won't find anything like it. You won't find a place like this where issues matter, issues of all sorts, whether they're issues right here in the station, issues in Tibet. You know, you hear so much in a broadcast day on this radio station that you can't put a price on that. You absolutely cannot put a price on that.
We're right
up to $18.65 total.
And let me point out, a 60-second commercial in Boston, $6,000.
Amazing.
$6,000. And this time, since you started the show up, we have 1,865.
And folks, these are your airwaves. You know, these people are making all this money on your airwaves because airwaves belong to the public. It's part of the electromagnetic spectrum. You know, that's how it works. Except it doesn't really work that way in practice, unfortunately. It's you know, the license turns into a property right to a frequency. And I no longer subscribe to that theory. You know, when I saw their true colors, the true colors of the NAB, National Association of Broadcasters, and agencies like National Public Radio, where they actually consider people running 10-watt radio stations in their communities to be a threat to their megawatt stations, you realize it's not about fairness. It's about greed. It's about, you know, keeping their voice predominant. It's about, you know, NPR having a station every 5 miles
of course,
on a non-commercial band.
I drove down to South Carolina last week. There's an NPR station. I was never out of range of an NPR station.
Yeah.
I could listen to...
See, I don't mind that so much, but I do mind the overlap. Where I live, I can get 6 different NPR stations. And, you know, every single one of those NPR stations means that that's one less community station that's on the air. 212-209-2950. Please give us a call now. We only have one call on the line. We're over $2,500. That's
yeah,
good. Not bad. Good. Well, catching up with all the figures. What do you got there?
I got some more cards here.
Ah.
I'd like to thank Junitz, who regular at the 2600 meters.
Yes, yes. And he's a guy who coordinates all our broadcasting on the internet. So the fact that this guy, you know, loses sleep coordinating our broadcast so people in Europe can hear us,
he's working
pledges,
hard to keep
he
us.
Pledges on top of that. That is simply unbelievable. Thanks so much to him.
He's a great guy. Greg from Atlantic Highlands.
Where's that?
New York.
There's a place called Atlantic Highlands
Atlantic
in New York.
Highlands,
sounds like they make scotch there, doesn't it?
Yeah, sounds like something in Scotland.
He also wants to have us announce that Ralph Nader Super Rally in Washington, D.C. on the 5th of November.
Really?
And
wow.
You know, there's
2 days before Election Day.
And there's trains that run down there, from what I understand.
Yeah, mass transit. Amazing.
What a time to be alive.
Jeff from Sayville, New York. No, uh-huh. Sayreville, New York. I'm sorry.
Sayreville?
Sayreville.
I think it's probably Sayville.
What's the area code?
732. Which
that's
I thought
New
was
Jersey.
That's New Jersey?
Yeah, you dimwit. That's New Jersey.
Nika from New York, New York.
Okay.
And Christopher from West Seneca.
Okay, folks, this is the only show we're going to be doing during this marathon. The marathon is winding down, so we do need your call. We need your call now, 212-209-2950. We have several packages. We have the $75 package where you'll get the Jello Biafra keynote videotape from H2K. You'll get an H2K hat. You'll get the Jello Biafra CD, and you'll also get some stickers. Everybody pledging $25 or more will get the Jello Biafra CD and the stickers. Everybody who pledges will get stickers. And for those of you who want everything for $200, you get every single video from H2K. It'll take you well over a full day without sleep to look at it all because there is so much that happened.
They have
that
some
weekend.
Friends over, make some popcorn.
$200 every single video, and also the H2K hat and the CD and the stickers.
Emmanuel, I have a question. Where do you think a lot of people get their news from?
Well, you know, I think everybody gets their news from the same place, namely the Associated Press, I think, because everybody reads the same thing.
No, okay, in the morning, when people wake up, go to work, how do people get their news?
The Joe and Phil morning show.
They basically, they listen to one of these, stupid people on the radio.
They listen to the radio. Yeah. There are markets. You don't say towns, you say markets.
Markets.
Right, because...
And you don't say people either. What do you say?
Consumers.
Target audience.
There are cities where all the news stations are owned... by one company.
And this is one of them.
Yay!
Did you know that? WCBS and WINS are owned by the same people. And WFAN, too. Yeah, they compete with each other. And this is the thing I can never understand. In fact, this happens inside Warner Brothers. If anybody works for Warner Brothers, please let me know how this works. But they have all these different, organizations that do the same thing, and they compete with each other, and they call it competition, and they take it very seriously. But they're owned by the same people.
And a lot of times, they're right, their studios are right next door to each other.
That's right. The people who do the morning shows at Hot 97 and Kiss FM, they're owned by the same people. They pass each other in the hallways. You think you're listening to competing people. They put each other down, maybe. Who knows? They're the same people. Now, it's one thing to have someone, take over a spot on an airwave and just use it to make money. But when they start taking over all of the airwaves, what do we do about this?
And we've handed it away. People just like, whatever.
Yeah.
I won't pick up the phone and give $10 to BAI. Yeah.
I live in fear of...
You're living in fear.
Well, I always live in fear, but I live in fear of the day when we are no longer a match for corporate America, where they can just come in and say, we want this frequency, you guys get out of here, and we become... What kind of music isn't played yet? Light Country FM? I don't know. I'm sure they'll figure something out that'll appeal, and it'll be a very successful place, and they'll make millions of dollars. Or we can keep this place here by supporting it. 212-209-2950. It's a really, really rare thing. You might notice that a lot of radio stations that are non-commercial are sort of relegated to the ghetto below 92.
Yeah, we're right smack dab in the middle.
We're right in your face, right there, 99.5. You can't get more in the middle than that. Thing is, below 92, the technical specs aren't quite as strict. You can have stations, interfering with each other a lot more than above 92. They space out the stations more, and just go down the dial, and you'll see how that works. So we have a commercial frequency, but we're using it for non-commercial purposes. And I think that's a really good thing to do. It's a very rare thing to do. If you go into almost any other city in this country, you won't find something like that. So that's why it's especially important to preserve that. This radio station reaches so many people. It gets out to Connecticut and to New Jersey and Pennsylvania and New York and Long Island and all over the place and the rest of the world through the Internet. And people realize what a valuable resource it is.
It's unique. And be a part of it.
When people come and visit the place, they say, I wish I had a station like this where I live. And what do you say to people like that? It's why don't you have a radio station like this where you live? It's because the spectrum has been given away. And how do we get it back? That's something we're going to be tackling. And how many radio stations go around talking about how to, take over frequencies and radio stations, pirate radio? I don't even like calling it pirate radio because, I think the true pirates are the ones who have taken it over. And the people trying to broadcast, free speech, information, and various other things at low power, I don't consider those to be pirates. I consider them to be victims.
Yeah, but the imagery is so fun. Guys with patches and parrots.
Army G.
Yeah, peg legs.
I don't think people with patches and pirates, pirates with parrots and patches. I don't think they
did that three times
they
now?
Like to broadcast very much.
No, they don't.
If they did, if they did, they would be relegated to these 10 watts.
No, if they did, they'd probably be on a morning show with, like, Imus or whatever.
Arr, here comes some Johnny Cash.
Yeah. In fact, he wears sunglasses all the time. I think he probably has an iPad.
212-209-2950. Those are the digits.
Okay, all right. Let's see what we have to do here.
Eddie and Blackbeard in the morning.
Well, we do have six calls, so maybe it's not that important. But I do want people to realize that, you know, we're not giving away crap here, okay? We're giving away some good stuff.
And you pay for this stuff. That's what kills me, is Emmanuel pays for this stuff and gives it away if people give donations.
Well, the way I look at it, it's the very least we can do because, you know, this place is a valuable resource. You know, it gives us a voice. We've had so many of our stories get out over the air, the whole fiber optic thing. Where did he go? Fiber, come back here.
He disappeared into the lobby.
This next piece actually has to do with him a little bit. Fiber, Bernie-esque, Kevin Mitnick, and, you know, unfortunately all the stories of the future that we don't yet know about, I'm sure we'll be talking about here. But imagine if this place wasn't here. We wouldn't be able to talk about it. All right. You know the name Robert Steele, right?
Yes.
And Robert Steele, a former CIA operative who gave the keynote address at the First Hope, also gave a couple of talks at H2K, including this this impromptu talk that took place late at night. And basically, he just talked for 2 hours.
That thing was amazing.
Everybody loved that.
Got to send that to my father.
Yeah. So this is part of a two-hour videotape of the many events that took place at H2K.
He had that room packed, too.
He sure did. Here's a few minutes of some of the back and forth on the Robert Steele question and answer with a very fascinated audience. You'll get this for a pledge of $200, and you'll get everything else that happened at H2K. For a pledge of $75, you'll get the Jello Biafra keynote address, and you can ask our Cali people for all the other details. 212-209-2950. Please call while this is playing.
90% of the value of signals intelligence is not from decrypting the message. It's from pattern analysis. Okay, 90% of the value of signals is from pattern analysis. If you all of a sudden see a new set of signals going between North Korea and Miami, Florida, this is a clue. Okay, pattern analysis is where most of it's at. The reality is we don't have the time. We certainly don't have the language skills. You want to screw with the U.S. government, just hold all your conversations in Urdu, you know, or Tamil, or Tagalog. We really stink at foreign languages. And so what you got to do is you got to get to the point where a lot of this stuff is either declassified or it's outsourced to people who speak that language who can do the translation. And I've been trying to tell the intelligence community for years that the private sector can keep a secret without having a clearance. I mean, most of us want to be able to earn our money honestly and to get that money and that client again. And so we're willing to, you know, I have people that translate Arabic for me and Indonesian and things like that. And they're all over the world when I need them, and I only pay them for what they do. And I'm pretty sure they're not posting everything. And even if they did post what they were translating, it doesn't matter because it wasn't secret in the first place. Over here, both of you. Oh, no, not you. You've already asked the question. You.
You mentioned several times about how there's not understanding what goes on in the cultures of the government agencies. Is there any practice of trying to marry people who have some ties to that culture in their study, or is it just sort of willy-nilly that anybody who's up for it?
Well, by and large, if you actually come from that culture or you're married to someone in that culture, you're ineligible for a clearance because you must not be a totally loyal U.S. citizen. That's our first problem. Our second problem is that we have this pattern of hiring from these predominantly white kinds of schools, and we hire cheap. My personal feeling is that nobody should be allowed to work for the CIA as an analyst or case officer until they speak the language at the 4 level on a scale of 5. Most case officers go out on their first tour speaking the language at a 2 level, which is just enough to be laughed at. We're not taking this seriously. We're going through the motions. I will tell you right now, I've spoken to the directors of intelligence communities in 18 different countries around the world, or deputy directors, and they usually take me to dinner. And I always ask the question, how many of our people have you nailed? In other words, how many of the people operating out of the official U.S. facility, I'm not allowed to say embassy, that's the only thing CIA took out of my book was three references to operating out of the U.S. embassy, which I didn't make. You guys are getting tired, I can tell. I'll stop at midnight. Or I'll go on as long as you wish. Okay, all right, good, thank you. I'm glad to be useful. In every single case, I have not gotten a direct verbal answer, but as a highly skilled case officer, I will tell you the answer is no less than 75%. You know, as my 11-year-old would say, if you're going to run spies, it doesn't make sense to do so out of a known fixed point where you're bouncing in and out 10, 15 times a day, spending more money than the ambassador has in his personal budget, and you're under 25. Okay. My personal feeling is fully 75% of our clandestine operations and probably as much as 90% in most countries of the world have been compromised. Those agents are either under control or they're known, and they're simply letting us stay busy. Clandestine intelligence worldwide is a joke. And the reason this is dangerous is because the President of the United States thinks he has a clandestine service. Okay? And that's scary. Now, I don't want to have any repeat questions, so let's... I'll tell you what, everyone who has asked a question before, I'll stay as long as you want to answer your question afterwards, but I want first-timers. Yes, sir. You, and then you, and then you.
Going back to domestic spying, we've read reports...
Going back to domestic spying, we've read reports...
...on presidential administrations...
Mm-hmm, presidential administrations...
...running operations against individual citizens to find information.
Right.
What types of checks are in place to prevent that, and how do we put those checks in place?
Well, at the federal level, I think that our federal officers, by and large, have very high integrity. Waco may be an exception. You know, I'll tell you, I was surprised because I went around the country after Waco and I was expecting people to more or less feel like the government did what it did and it was the Davidians that were wrong. I was stunned at how many of my middle-class professional counterparts had a real deep-seated uneasiness with the government. I mean, this was beyond this group. This was mainstream, main street, white-collar professionals. By and large, though, I think that one of the good things that's come out of the whistleblowing era is that, first off, the president's never been in charge of anything. You know, there's a wonderful book by Richard Neustadt called The Power to Persuade, and George Shultz has said in testimony in Congress that nothing's ever decided in Washington. You have to argue the policy every single day. But by and large, I think officers of integrity... Certainly Dick Helms and Bill Colby over at CIA were officers of integrity. They can say no. At the state and local level, I don't know. I don't think domestic spying is an issue, my personal feeling. On the other hand, hacker crackdown, you have field officers out there that are zealous, they want to get promoted, you look really evil, and that scares them because they don't understand you, and so they'll make a case and they'll go do stuff. And I think... if I were a hacker with a whole bunch of metal in my body, wearing really black clothes all the time and colored spiked hair, and I found out I was under investigation, number one, I wouldn't do anything up, and number two, I'd go public immediately. I would go to the newspapers and I would say, this is who I am, and these guys are investigating, and here's my wife, and I invite everybody to come in and make sure there's nothing to find, everybody to come in and look at me, and I would be Little Miss Pris for the next 10 years.
How well it worked for Kevin?
Yeah, I don't know the case myself. What's that?
Fiber.
Yeah, well, fiber's a good one. My personal opinion, and I have a neighbor that's a Secret Service officer, and I think Secret Service officers are good, good people, but I think this guy had his head up his ass. I mean, fiber's not a threat to national security, but... these people, out of genuine, deep-seated belief about stuff they don't understand, think so, and they're willing to tell a judge, And until you raise the consciousness level, shit like that's going to happen.
Okay, we missed that one. Sorry. It's tough. It really is. But you'll get the full uncensored version of that. Fiber, how's it feel knowing you're not a threat to society?
Well, it's good to hear. Interesting point about Mr. Steele is we first met at the third Computers, Freedom, and Privacy Conference in San Francisco a few years ago. And my initial impression of him was good. He sounded seemed like a level-headed guy at the time. And the one point that I agreed with him on at the time was that hackers are a wasted national resource.
Mm-hmm.
And it was on that I met and spoke with him a couple of more times. When I was in prison, I received what I consider my agency recruitment letter from Bob Steele.
Uh-huh.
And the letter was short and to the point, and basically said that it was unfortunate what I was going through, and that there were lots of corporations and governments who would benefit from your talents. And that was basically the vein of the letter. Since then, I've completely lost faith in Bob Steele. I mean, once he got involved with the purveyor of cyber warfare, Win Schwartau,
who also is included in this package, all the videos, there's some Win Schwartau material there as well. But
I mean, once they got involved and started having these cyber terrorism and cyber warfare conferences and things like that, InfoWar and all that business, I completely lost faith in the man.
Well, that's a perspective there, and basically people should make up their own minds. You can get every single video that came out of H2K by calling us now, 212-209-2950. We have, excuse me, zero calls on the line. You'll get the two-hour Robert Steele question and answer session that talks about all kinds of other issues as well. And I don't know, I think he's got a lot of really interesting things to say as far as, being a former, spook. I mean, this guy's got a history. He really does. And, he knows a lot of things out there. It's kind of spooky.
That's what's really great about if you get the tapes and watch them,
mm-hmm.
so many ex-spooks, ex-spy agents telling all. And it's just like, it was just riveting.
Yeah. And, the atmosphere of the audience, just like profound respect, I think, for people like him, for everybody who was speaking at the conference, actually. They all were really happy with the way they were received, Jell-O included. I just think so much was learned, and you can continue that learning experience. You can remember some of the things you saw, and there's nobody who saw everything. I know, because we were taping things at the same time, so nobody could have possibly seen everything. So there's something in here for everyone, and that's if you call 212-209-2950. We have three calls on the line right now. A $200 pledge will get you every single piece of footage of video that we have from this conference. We taped, I think, about 85% of all the panels, or some of the second track that we didn't have a camera for.
How many hours of stuff you got?
We're over 20 so far, and I'm not finished.
So
yet.
you could like recreate H2K.
Oh, absolutely.
At your home.
You'd need two VCRs though, because you'd have to have two things going on.
At once. And you could run from room to room like everybody was doing at the convention.
Well, yeah, you'd have to separate it by like eight floors or something to make it realistic. But
you stand outside the door.
The next I got to point this out. The next conference, all the people want to come to 2002, which is when the next one will be. We're going to have a lot more as far as space. We're definitely going to have a lot more, a lot more space for people to do things like that. And we won't have tiny rooms like we had this time for the second track. We'll have big rooms. There are other bigger rooms that we weren't able to get this time. We will get them next time.
Are you going to have it at the Javits Center?
No, we're going to have it in the same place.
Yeah?
It went really well there.
Pennsylvania?
Yeah, I was pretty happy with that place. It really was.
Were they happy with us?
Yeah, they were extremely happy with us. And that made me even more happy with them. It just kept building from that. 212-209-2950. Hackers have a conference, basically they've been given a bad name by certain other conferences that, where vandalism is kind of the theme. It doesn't have to be that way. Here we are in the middle of New York City, and we proved everybody wrong. We said, hey, people can get together in this expensive city where everybody's afraid to walk out on the street and not cause a problem. Everybody had a great time. We got together, kept the cost down. And people learned a lot, and I think a lot of people will be back next time. Let me thank some people. Anthony from Pembroke Pines, Florida, thanks so much for calling. Long distance.
Online list.
Yeah. Or a very good FM radio. Stephen from, Arendtsville, Pennsylvania. One of those strange-sounding towns in Pennsylvania. Arendtsville, Pennsylvania. Thank you for calling. Luigi from Cleveland, Mississippi. Not even Cleveland, Ohio, but Cleveland, Mississippi.
You want me to look and see if... Clear Channel on stage in this morning? Cleveland?
We're running out of time, so let's get through this. Dana from Brooklyn, an over-the-air listener.
Yes.
Thank you very much for your pledge. Peter from Woodsley, Ontario.
Way up yonder.
Neighbors to the north.
Yeah.
You hear they just called an election up in Canada? I think that's kind of cool, and you just call an election and say, yeah, you know, there's going to be an election next month. You know, they don't go through all the crap that we go through for a year and a half, you know. They just, okay, we're going to do it next month.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah. Robert from New York. Robert, thanks for your pledge. I'm not sure I'm going to pronounce this right. Augusta or something like that from Brooklyn. Thank you for your pledge. T-Dub, thanks so much for calling from New York. And, we have the Maryland 2600 calling en masse from Bel Air, Maryland. Thanks thanks for your pledge.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, that's
they
great.
They getting videos?
Yeah, they are getting videos.
They're getting videos.
They're getting videos and a little bit more, too, I think.
Not bad.
Yeah, thanks for that. I got to make it to one of the Maryland meetings. Never been to that. I've been to D.C., but not Maryland, which I guess is Baltimore.
We've been to Philly, too.
Yeah. I got to travel around some more, you know, see some of these other meetings. So
they have trains that go down there.
They have trains that go there,
yeah,
too?
Yeah, what's with the train?
This is amazing.
Because he won't take mass transportation.
Listen, when I'm coming from the island, the LIRR is like, you know, the worst invention.
I came from the island.
Yeah, but you came from the island like a few feet away. I came from the island like, many, many miles. Bernice from Plainfield, New Jersey.
It's Bernie's girlfriend.
Rich the Rebel. Rich the Rebel from Queens. Well, let's see if that pledge goes through, Rich the Rebel, and then maybe we can lift
you
that little ban.
Yeah, what,
his credit card bounce?
We're going to see.
Okay.
We're going to see when the actual... this isn't a credit card, so it has
when
to...
check clears.
When the check clears.
There's only four more minutes to say that you really dig off the hook.
212-209-2950. Real quickly, $200. You get every single video made at H2K. $75, you get Jello Biafra. For everything above $25, you get a Jello Biafra CD as well. And for everything that is pledged, you get H2K stickers. Oh, and also everything above $75, you get an H2K hat. I can't say it anymore. I'm sick of saying it, but please give a call, 212-209-2950. If you've ever gotten anything out of this radio station, out of this particular program, then you need to call us, 212-209-2950. Voice your support.
Every time you listen to commercial radio and you hear a commercial for some product that you've purchased, you've paid for that commercial.
Absolutely. You don't have a choice. They don't ask you. No way. They don't ask you.
Because part of the purchase price is advertising money.
That's right.
You want a nightmare? Go swinging through the dial. You wind up at 99.5. You listen to Ed and Charlie in the morning, and the top 40 come on just after that.
What?
Don't let that happen.
Yeah.
Send in your
pledge. Oh, yeah. M&M.
The best way to get people to pledge is to tell them to listen to commercial radio for 5 minutes.
Right.
Just, you know,
the new Spice Girls album just came out.
Let's not do this.
We could play that.
We
could play that in M&M.
But why torture people like who, you know... we don't want to abuse those people halfway.
You're at 99.5 right now. Turn over to 100.3 and listen to Z100 for 10 seconds.
Thanks to Popcorn.
Flying back.
Popcorn Girl from San Juan, Puerto Rico.
Popcorn Girl.
I don't know about this. Sergey from Staten Island, thank you for your pledge. Steven from Edmonton, Alberta. One of my favorite cities I've never been to.
Another one way up there.
We really want to go there. Really sorry about the Oilers. George from Belmore and Darcy from Brooklyn, thanks so much for your pledges. Thanks everybody else who's called up. We're up to well over $4,000. We're almost at $5,000, $4,760.
Oh, come on. We got to make it to
$5,000. Oh, yeah.
Well, we also got to make it out of here before Tyrio comes on. And they've got a three-hour special about the Middle East, which I guarantee you is going to be stuff you have not heard on any commercial radio station, certainly.
Or anywhere
else. Any network anywhere. So it's the kind of thing that you just hear on this radio station round the clock. So please submit your ballot, cast your vote, support WBAI, keep Off the Hook going. 212-209-2950. It's Emmanuel for Laszlo, for Fiber, for Isaac, for Mike. Thanks, everybody, for calling in, and we'll see you next week at the usual time, 8 to 9. And until then, good night, everyone. I got to find the theme.
Where is it? So
there it is. There it is. Okay. 212-209-2950. Good night. The telephone keeps ringing, so I ripped it off the wall. I cut myself off shaving, now I can't make a call. I couldn't get my brush, but if they could, they would. So then they bombed for the best effect for worse. I hope that's understood. So then they bombed.
President Robert Mugabe of Zimbabwe recently said in Harlem, "We must never be divided again." In that spirit and the spirit of Malcolm X, the outrage of the black community will be expressed on Monday, November 6th, Black Solidarity Day at 2 p.m. at the United Nations Dar Hammarskjöld Plaza, located at 47th Street and 1st Avenue. Support the demand to free the land. For more information, call 718-399-8527. That's 718-399-8527. What?